Hello, everybody. Welcome to the recording session. Have a seat. Have a cup of tea. Have a glass of water. We're about to start. Hope you enjoy the collaboration. Hope you become familiar with the sounds and the intenseness of expression. Just sit back and relax. This is about getting up in the morning and feeling good with a new day and a new chance to create. Okay? So may the deserts have water. May the storms calm down. May the snows lighten up. May the babies laugh. And may your ears remain open. So, in poetry, in music, in knowledge, in peace, security, and longevity, come on and step into the time flow with us. Come on, let's go, let's go.
Yes, and welcome aboard. Another edition of Saturday Morning Live. Today is May the 21st, and we are here. And we are going to have a show today, and we're going to be speaking with Dar El Malik Bey, a.k.a. Ranji Southern, about the passing of Sagidi Abdullah. Sagidi Abdullah, the singer-songwriter producer from Los Angeles, California, joined the Ancestors, and he was responsible for Baby Take Your Time, Do It Right, SOS Band, You Better Think Twice, Erykah Badu and Donald Byrd, and he worked with Eddie Kendricks of the Temptations, Felipe Wynn of the Spinners, and so on and so forth. So we're going to be speaking about Sagidi in the last hour of this show, and we're going to be speaking with Dr. Gerald Horn at 11:30. At 11 o'clock, Amanla will be in, and we're going to be speaking to Melinda Francis at 10:30. And until then, I guess we're playing a little music. We don't have Mumia this week. We will try to get Mumia on next week. We'll have a lot of Mumia. But right now, we're going to take a little musical interlude.
Oh,
are listening to CKLN. This is Saturday Morning Live, not Saturday Morning Jive. My name is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali, and we are on the air, and we have some time. If you want to call and let us know who is listening, the number here is 416-595-1655, 416-595-1655. Herb Boyd was on Democracy Now! A couple of days ago, along with Michael Eric Dyson and Amiri Baraka, talking about Manning Marable's new book. And here is Herb Boyd.
This is Herb Boyd, and I'm the managing editor at the Black World Today, an online news service. And one of my very, very important writers is Norman Otis Richmond. You may know him up there from his show, where he's been doing diasporic music for about 25 years. Well, Norman writes for me, and he plays for you. And he's still black and still strong. Keep listening to Norman and his friends at CKLN FM 88.1 on your dial.
And the number here is 416-595-1655, 416-595-1655. And we can entertain anything you wanted to entertain. I guess we won't have anybody on until around 10:30. So if you wanted to open up the phones and talk about how CKLN sounds on the line or whatever you wanted to deal with, 416-595-1655. Is there anyone? Is there anybody listening?
No. The trouble I see, no.
Listening to CKLN. This is Saturday Morning Live, and we are here with you. And today is supposed to be the end of the world, according to some. And we may not be here, I guess, too much longer. So I guess this is why I'm playing some of this music. But Saturday Morning Live continues. The number here is 416-595-1655.
This is Michael Parenti, author of The Terrorism Trap and also The Assassination of Julius Caesar, A People's History of Ancient Rome. And I urge you to listen to Norman Richman, Saturday Morning Live on CKLN FM 88.1 to get the real truth.
And you're listening to CKLN. The number here is 416-595-1655. 416-595-1655. We are broadcasting to you from CKLN.FM, www.CKLN.FM. This is Norman Otis Richman, and we were listening to a theme song from JoJo Bennett, and that song was, that is the theme song of Allende Blake, the son of Milton Blake. And Allende Blake comes on Saturday Morning Live the first month of every month and does his thing. He's Saturday Morning Live's film critic. And we are going to continue with some more music. We hope to hear from you, 416-595-1655. And you're listening to CKLN. Today, May 21st, is African Liberation Day. And there are going to be a lot of activities taking place today and next week. Next week, there's going to be African Liberation Day at a different book list. And today, it's going to be at Lawrence Heights all day today. And we urge everyone to go out and support African Liberation Day. You're listening to Saturday Morning Live. My name is Norman Otis Richman. We are going to be presenting Gerald Horn at 11:30 Amanla should be here in about, I guess at 11 p.m. we're going to have Amanla, our regular feature on CKLN. And at high noon, we're going to be speaking with Dar El Malik Bey. And he was very close to Sagidi Abdullah, producer, writer, who worked with the SOS band, who worked with Donald Byrd and many others. And he passed away recently, and we're going to be paying tribute to Sagidi at high noon.
somebody would come and ease my troubling mind. Yeah, I wish somebody would come and ease my troubling mind. Oh, yes, I do. Why won't somebody come and ease my troubling mind? Yeah, I sure wish somebody would come and ease my troubling mind. Oh, yes, I do. I wish my baby would come and tell me everything's alright. Yeah, I sure wish my baby would come and tell me everything is still alright. Oh, yes, I do. They tell me when you tell somebody your troubles, trouble fly away from you. I'm looking for somebody I can tell my troubles to. Why won't somebody come and ease my troubling mind? Yeah, I sure wish somebody would come and ease my troubling mind. Oh.
Captives free. I am direct representative of His Majesty. Come to free all of our dead black people from the hands of the heathens. Fire a burning of Babylonia. Serious thing. Enough people think the KKK is OKK. But I man say no way, way, way. You cause a lot to go astray or even keep some at bay. You plant the seed in the US of A. It should blow wide today. Plan your ship, it a sink. Your concepts stink. Morals and the key. How the hell could you imagine that the KKK is OKK? Mr. DeBee!
Shed before that day.
Do you remember
the pains they went through before we became free? Do you remember Sajufu, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, Joe Boy? Do you remember Obahima, Yazantua?
Do you remember
Osetutu and Komfo Anochi?
Africans, do you remember? Africans, do you remember?
Do you remember Captain Thomas Sankara?
Do you remember?
Do you remember Tafewa Balewa?
Do you remember?
Do you remember Jomo Kenyatta?
Do you remember?
Do you remember Nana Ofwebwaye? Yeah. Do you remember Sekou Touré?
Do you remember?
Do you remember Emperor Haile Selassie the first? Yeah.
Africans, do you remember? Africans, do you remember?
Yeah. Yes, I remember. Nana, no, I do. Grandma told me when I was a little boy. Said I remember. Berazi and Coupon, I do remember.
Yes, we remember.
Do you remember Martin Luther King Jr.?
Do you remember?
Do you remember Malcolm X and Rosa Parks?
Do you remember?
Do you remember W.E.B. Du Bois?
Do you remember?
Do you remember Harriet Tubman? Yeah.
African Americans, do you remember? African Americans, do you remember?
Yeah. Do you remember old Marcus Garvey?
Do you remember?
Do you remember Robert Nesta Marley?
Do you remember?
Do you remember Maurice Bishop?
Do you remember?
Do you remember Walter Rodney?
In African Caribbeans, do you remember? African Caribbeans, do you remember?
To boy,
African Americans, do you remember? African Americans, do you remember?
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Amilcar Cabral.
Do you remember?
Do you remember Abdul Nazar?
Do you remember?
Remember Steve Biko?
Do you?
Mr. Patrice Lumumba.
Do you remember?
Eric William Sazi.
Do you remember
Samola Masha?
Do you remember
Kweju Agri?
Do you remember
Steve Biko? Ratete Kwashi,
do you remember
Kunta Kinte?
Do you remember
Oliver Tambo?
Listening to the music of Peculiar Eye from Toronto, Doomsday KKK. We also heard Do You Remember by Kwasi Selassie. And we heard Sam Cooke doing Somebody Ease My Trouble in Mine. And that was the Platters singing The Great Pretender. And that song was in the film Why Do Fools Fall in Love? And the guy who played Tony Williams, who led that song, was the son of Clyde McFadder and the daughter of Ruth Brown. We're going to take another music break and come back with Melinda Francis.
In a little tent since. It's been a long,
And Sam Cooke, A Change Is Gonna Come. And like we were saying, Sam Cooke was with Muhammad Ali when he won the heavyweight champion. He was in the room with Malcolm X and Jim Brown. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I'm in the studio with Melinda Francis, and we wanted to talk about, I guess, today is supposed to be the end of the world, so I hope everybody can
have a good one.
Yeah, Richard Pryor said that he wanted to make love to, I think it was, I forgot the actress's name. He was going to run over her house just before the world ended and make sure that when he has his orgasm, that would be, he was going to time it around that time. So that's how Richard Pryor was going to deal with it. But because you look, what are your thoughts on the end of the world?
Well, my interest in the whole thing is, what happens when we wake up tomorrow. All these people who have been preparing for this day, and it doesn't come to pass. Like, what do they do with their lives coming up? Like, this is an interesting concept for me, because there's been times throughout history where, you know, people have been preparing for this day, and I want to know, like, sort of what that phenomenon is and why, why we choose particular dates. And, yeah, it's just fascinating to me. So I know there was a case where this one... one gentleman has been preparing and spent his whole life savings on telling other people that it's coming. So it's just very fascinating to me. That's all.
I remember in some quarters people were saying that Africa was going to be free by 1983, and then in 1966 was supposed to be the end of the world. I think it was... maybe it might have been the Nation of Islam, and 1966 came, and then 1967 came, and there was rebellions in North America, and the African continent was decolonizing, and Chinese Revolution was building, and the Vietnamese War was going on, and it didn't stop. But if you wanted to put your 3 cents in, you can call 416-595-1655. We would like to hear from the listeners.
What do you think, Norm? Like, what is it? Is it just we're coming up to a sort of like a change in sort of, and it happens when there's sort of like a change of paradigm shift? Or, yeah, what is this phenomenon?
I think it's just... humanity, people are looking for answers, and when you can't find answers in the real world, we go to the not real world. And I think that religion is something that is created by human beings and not the other way around. That's just my view. Like we have Christianity, Islam, Judaism, and the religions that's, talk about the one God. Then we have a lot of the indigenous religions, the African religions that talk about, a number of gods. And, I think that religion, I basically agree with Malcolm X. I think religion is something that we should keep in a closet and keep it at home, because it's really a hard way to, it's difficult to organize, but this rapture thing, it's something that is, I think people are looking for when things are going bad, like they're going bad for Africa, Asia, Latin America, and even North America and Europe. The common people in Europe and in North America are not doing that well, doing better than people in other parts of the world, but I think everyone is suffering, especially native people, especially people of African origin. And We had William Watt, Dr. Watson, on last week, and he was talking. You know, a lot of us who have African ancestry always talk about we are the most oppressed. I think there's something to that. Ho Chi Minh talked about that, but, you know, what about people in Afghanistan? You know, people, they're pretty rough. It's pretty rough over there as well.
Well, the interesting thing, so if you define what the rapture is, it's, you know, it refers to a biblical passage, and it refers to the end of times where Christians will be gathered together to meet Christ. Now, my question is, how would you recognize him?
Christ, most of the pictures I've seen of him, he's a blonde white guy, and I know that in Detroit, when I lived in Detroit, there was a man by the name of Glanton Dowdell who painted the Black Madonna. He painted in black, but I understand that, you know, in other parts of the world, Christ is, if it's in Asia, Christ looks like an Asian. If he's, but in North America, when I say North America, I'm talking about I've been to Mexico, but I've never been to a church in Mexico. But I know in Canada and the United States, most of the times I see a picture of Jesus, except, you know, during certain periods of time, there were people that brought pictures of Black Christ. But, I'll leave it at that.
And another thing, like, you know, just, you know, on a theological, like, basis, or, you know, if this is what you're studying, like, where would he, you know, where would Christ arrive? Like, would he arrive in North America? Would he arrive in the Middle East? Like, this is a problem, right? Like, if you're going to meet him, where are you going to meet him? Like, this is the things that I'm, like, thinking about. I don't, know how people who are subscribing to this kind of notion, how they sort of kind of come to terms with us, these problems.
Well, obviously, he would have to come to New York. I mean, that's the center of the world, because everyone knows that the sun, that's the center. That's where, it's not Hollywood. I mean, New York is, that's where everything, that's where all the action supposedly is. I mean, New York is supposed to be the most important city on the planet Earth from, you know, what people in America say. It's not Los Angeles, or it's not Paris, it's not Havana, Cuba, or Moscow. It's New York, New York, the Big Apple. So nice you have to say it twice.
Yeah, I could see that. But wouldn't Christ kind of choose somewhere where, you know, things are most in trouble? And where would that be? Because, I mean, that's a whole other story. Like, everywhere is in trouble. But, you know, you would think that he would be going to a place where he's really needed.
Well, I think that the Eurocentric, the Western concept, he would be coming to save Europeans. I mean, in the whole concept, I mean, he's supposed to be, you create Christ in your own image, and Christ was supposedly this blonde guy. So I guess, like I say, he would be coming to New York City, maybe Rochester or Buffalo. I don't know, Albany, New York. Albany is the capital, but he can't go anyplace else. I mean, he wouldn't be going to Kingston, Jamaica, or to St. Vincent. He wouldn't be going to Georgetown, Guyana, I don't believe. He would have to be going to New York.
Okay, so all those New Yorkers out there, look out. And what do you, I don't know. It'll be interesting. This is like the concept I want people to, you know, think about. You know, when we wake up tomorrow, all those people that have been preparing this for years, what are they going to do now for the rest of their lives? Like, this is, you know, what I'm interested in.
The number here is 416-595-1655. 416-595-1655. This is Saturday Morning Live, and we want you to call 416-595-1655. We're going to take a music break, and please call, because we want to hear from the listeners. What do you think about the rapture?
Born by the river, in a little tent. Oh, and just like the river I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. 'Cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother and I say, brother, help me, please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long, but now I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.
Sam Cooke on CKLN. Sam Cooke, a change is gonna come. And we were saying that Sam Cooke was with Muhammad Ali. When Muhammad Ali won the heavyweight championship in 1964, he was with Malcolm X, was in seat number 7 for you numerology people, you numbers people. Malcolm said he was a seventh son of a seventh son and all of that kind of stuff, but all the 7. He was, they gave him his favorite number, 7. He was sitting there with Muhammad Ali when Muhammad Ali became the heavyweight champion of the world after the Ali won, and this was in Miami. He had a party. The after party, there was Malcolm X, Sam Cooke, Jim Brown, the football player. I don't know who else was there. And supposedly Ali ate some ice cream and then went to sleep. That's the official story. But Sam Cooke used to go to Temple number 27 on in Los Angeles, California, and the minister at that time was a man by the name of John Shabazz, and John Shabazz is still in the land of the living, and he is Abdul Allah Muhammad. I think he's very ill at the at this time, and I remember seeing John Shabazz at a party, which was given by Sagidi Abdullah's mother in Los Angeles, California. And Sagidi's mother knew a lot of people, and she had a party. We were there, and Minister John Shabazz was there. And I'm in the studio with Melinda Francis, and the Nation of Islam taught that the world was going to end in 1966, and in 1966 became 1967, And then we had 1977. Then some people said the Africa would be free by 1983. And went by free, I don't know what people meant, because Africa began the decolonization process, I guess, in Audrey can help me with this. Before Ghana was independent, supposedly, I think Egypt was the first. Egypt or Sudan was the first. It wasn't Ghana, because the people that like to divide Africa between North and South say that Ghana was independent in 1957, March 6, 1957. But there were independent African states, and some people say that Africa is. Only Black Africa is Africa, which is not the case.
So, so this leads to me my first question. Or after 1966, when the Nation of Islam said that the world was going to end, how did sort of the nation sort of after that year was, you know, completed and things still went on? What was the discussions after that like? Did they just come up with another date and?
Well, at that particular time, they were being challenged because Malcolm X was assassinated in February 21st, 1965, and then you had the beginning of groups like the Black Panther Party, the League of Revolutionary Black Workers, the Republic of New Africa, Congress of African People. You had all these groups spring up, and there was not too much talk about it because people were really like struggling in the streets. And until, you know, the mid 70s, it looked like the world was you had revolution and you had people almost took power in France. Mumia talks about, you know, that, and then the Vietnamese War was going on, and the Vietnamese were basically defeating. The world could see U.S. imperialism being defeated by the British. But a lot of times the people that believe in this rapture business believe that God is going to destroy the world by natural causes. So they would point to earthquakes and say, "Well, that's a sign that it's coming." Mm-hmm. But there was so much happening in North America, but up until around 1975, and then after 1975, you had in the late 90s, and not in 1979, you had Grenada, you had Iran, you had Nicaragua, and you know it just shifted and. Like today, you have Venezuela, Bolivia. You know, a lot of things are taking place. A lot of things are taking place in various parts of the world.
Yeah, I guess if you're using signs that such as earthquakes, hurricanes, you could actually kind of point that out. In any kind of period of time. And if you're thinking of war, I mean, we've been in war for many years. I guess you could say, well, it's still coming, and then you kind of move on and pick up a further date. But this is just interesting, concept to me, people who have been like preparing for this day most of their lives, and then when it happens, and how do they reconcile when we go on the next day? So this is what I would be like to kind of follow upcoming. I don't know.
Well, we're going to make way for Amanla. We're going to play a couple of more musical selections while Amanla warms up in the bullpen. If for you people that follow baseball, you would know what I'm talking about. Those of you that don't follow baseball don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But you're warming up in the bullpen. Audrey's getting ready to come on and do her thing. But we're going to play a song by Paul Robeson called Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. And one of the tenets of the Nation of Islam, and it's not just the Nation of Islam, but a lot of religious groups talked about, a chariot coming to take people home. And George Clinton's family was really influenced by a lot of Islam, And if you know that song, Swing Down, Sweet Chariot, Stop and Let Me Ride, you know, that's all inspired by the Nation of Islam. But here is Mr. Paul Robeson, the tallest tree in our forest, who is basically was followed by Harry Belafonte.
Swing low, sweet chariot, come in, but carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, come in, but carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot.